Welcome to Online Bible Fellowship Bible Study on the Book of the Bible for this day of our studies. My name is Brother Tim, your host on today's session of Fellowship Music. We record these sessions as brethren come together for a fellowship around the world. We read chapter by chapter systematically and allow the Word of God to guide our studies. We'd like to invite you or anyone to join us. Bring your question, comments, or anything you wonder about. Nothing is too small or too big to ask. Come and join, just as you are today. You know the word said in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Again in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we study, so his word will dwell in us richly, and in all things we teach one another, divide his word correctly. So join us at www.onlinebiblefellowship.com or email ebiblefellowshipnet@gmail.com. Now, let us begin our fellowship. We will start now with an opening prayer and a few song selections as we prepare our heart to study His Word today.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
You are listening to Online Bible Fellowship Bible Study. Please join us as we listen to a pre-recorded session as conducted by a lead moderator. With participants from various countries, we hope you will be blessed by listening.
We thank you for the privilege to study your word. Lord, we are grateful as you open this perfect door of liberty that set men free. We ask, O God, that you grant us insight into your word. Father, we are asking that the heavens be open over us this evening, that you grant us understanding of what we are about to study. Remind as many that have forgotten about the meeting, and grant us good connectivity that we will enjoy the study of your word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we are looking at Romans chapter 6. So if you can, go ahead and read Romans chapter 6.
Verse 15. What are we to do then? Should we sin in our heart content since there is no law to condemn us anymore? What a terrible thought. Don't you realize that grace frees us to choose your own masters? But choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master, and it will own you and reward you with death. But if you choose to love and obey God, it will lead you into perfect righteousness. And God is pleased with you, for in the past you were servant of sin, but now your obedience is heart deep and your life is being modeled by truth through the teachings you are devoted to. And now you celebrate your freedom from your former master sin. You have let it bondage, and now God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as his loving servant. I have used the familiar terms of servant and a master to compensate for your weakness. To understand, for just as you surrender your bodies and soul to impurity and lawlessness, which only brought more lawlessness into your life, so now surrender yourself as servant of righteousness, which brings you deeper into true holiness. Verse 20. When you were bound as servant to sin, you live your life free from any obligation to righteousness. So tell me, what benefit ensure from doing those things that you are now ashamed of, if left you with nothing but a legacy of shame and death? But now, as God's loving servant, you live a joyous freedom from the power of sin. So consider the benefit you now enjoy. You will go deeper into the experience of true holiness that ends with eternal life. Verse 23, the last verse. For since meager wages is death, but God's lavish gift is life eternal, found in your union with our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. That is the reading.
Our faith should generate in us responsibilities. Our faith should generate in us good works. So if it is true that we have faith in Christ, it should also be true that we are going to do good works. But if our faith is not generating in us good works, then there is an issue out there.
I totally and absolutely agree with our moderator, the last speaker. That's very true. I'm trying to see how much I can also contribute in this aspect, especially when you talk about the three aspects of believers. I think one of the things that is very fundamental too is the reason why somehow it looks like those three things are not there. I think we lack power. And like the previous speaker who has just said, I think, and another issue, not just power, that capacity of having the Holy Spirit in us is lacking. And so within these three aspects that you mentioned, once there is no power, even the gospel itself, it is the power of God. And so once there is no power, like you said, we need to go to drawing back. Something is wrong. Something is wrong, very fundamental, something is wrong. Because why is the power the church is identified with? Why is it true that once church speaks, it stands? But today, church is trying to major on this aspect. Church is trying to present itself as an innocent. This is gospel. This is the righteousness of God. It's not about being innocent. Because I think this is where we are getting it wrong. To be innocent, and somehow to be innocent in this part of the world, it simply means to cover your gospel. But for us to reign in the grace of God, there must be that power, either at the inception, on the process, towards the end. But it's like we lack that power in us. So whatever one is speaking, there's no authority to what he's saying. In fact, some people who even, the way they talk in the house are, why? And you know, how can you tell me this true and you're saying why? That's under probability. And that simply means we are compromising somewhere. And you know, hadn't been we are under law, that is even better, because at the point you rebel or you do something detestable, the hand of God would instantly be there. But the grace has opened up that we may do things greater, not under compulsion. But the issue is that power is not working in us. For the fact that we are minority, let it be. If that power is there, people will always listen, because we speak with conviction, with authority, and power with the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, God will reign above all report. But the issue, there's a compromise. We present gospel without the power. People accept Christ. Holy Spirit is not working in them, like we said. Though we don't have any yardstick to measure whether that person has accepted. And he said the church is just two, either the one that is universal and the one that God only knows. But that power should be with us. When we speak, when we gather, when we proclaim, when we declare, whatever we do, there should be power. Either you reach out, either you are growing within yourself, or you are evangelizing. That must be done with a power that comes from God. And that power comes with conviction. But I wonder what we are doing today. In fact, I'm beginning to act somehow. Anytime I preach, people clap. I don't know what is that for. I don't know what it does for. In fact, I'm beginning to feel strange. Why are they not clapping today? Hey, excuse me. Am I doing that for myself? But I know in those days, the preacher is preaching because of the conviction that is there. People are on tears. But do you wonder today that we even clap and blow whistle? Lord, have mercy on us. But I think that is not coming from the grace we have. Grace should give us the power, the boldness to confront any issue. But there are other sides that we are going softly. You know, today we are rejecting persecution, we are rejecting suffering, we are rejecting. That is the point that we are, of course, opening up for compromise. And to see the power of God, like I believe in the some teaching of the African side, SST has said, Christian is like a back of a tea. Until the water is hot, when you put in, then you see the color. But today we want to submerge in the cold water and we want to see the color. It will not happen. So I cry bitterly within my heart, need the grace of God. In fact, after this ordination, I wrote to people, I said, what is expected of you? There should be signs and wonders. Because that is a promise for us. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen.
And amen. Now, that is the issue, but we have all mentioned the issue that, you know, our churches have become stadiums these days, that, we only go and entertain ourselves and go away. So the true teaching of the Word of God is really lacking in our church today. But we fill the church with all kinds of activities, all kinds of activities that entertain those that. So at the end of the day, we don't even do the fellowship that we're supposed to do. There is no fellowship. That's why maybe we call it church service these days, because we don't do the fellowship. We call it church service. We go and do the service. And you know, the person that serves your car doesn't have any intentional relationship with the vehicle. So we just go and do service and get away. I pray God will help us.
That's powerful. That's powerful, sir.
Yeah.
It's true. You just pick your car and leave it to go.
Yeah. Honestly, there is a lot of work to be done. Honestly. Even with our agency groups, we have to begin to make them to be Bible studies group, agency group. Because they have turned themselves into small groups of entertainment. That the person is more concerned about going for rehearsal than he is concerned about going for Bible studies, than he is concerned about going for teachings. You know, the church has turned to entertainment industry these days. I pray God will begin to do something in us that will go back to the teaching of the word.
Thank you for the privilege to share this gospel message. If you would like to contribute and participate in our recorded fellowship session in the area, please email ebiblefellowshipnet@gmail.com. Give your name, where you reside, and request to participate in a live fellowship. That is email ebiblefellowshipnet@gmail.com. All one word. We will be glad to send you a meeting to join the next available recording session in your area. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.
So I'm going to read some few verses again, then we'll our time is almost gone. I'll read a few verses, then we'll talk, we discuss that, and we'll see where we stop. Verse 17 is saying, and verse 16 is saying, do you not know? No, verse 15. Let me start from verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? So Paul is using the word slaves to define two things. Either you are a slave for good thing or a slave for bad thing. But thanks be to God, verse 17, that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. Now, Paul is emphasizing that we are no longer slaves of the bad thing now, but we are slaves for the good thing. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So now Paul is saying, one can be slave either for good or for bad. But since we have accepted Jesus Christ, it means that we are no longer slaves for the bad thing.
Now, I do hear from looking at these verses, I do see this point, and I've been listening very carefully, trying to understand how I perceive and understand this, and try to see what the dilemma is here. My question is, this allegiance that we are talking about, how do we frame this allegiance? Because on one hand, when I was born into this world and my parents were taking me to church, and my parents lived whatever life they have lived, and I went to school, and you see people come to you to church, and then many people believe that they are Christians because they go to church. So, but what we are reading in these verses at this time is talking about this particular point of change of allegiance. I didn't understand this till I was in medical school and I became born again. And I came to know a lot of these things, but I'm putting myself in the place of most of these people that we call Christians today. How do you explain to them so they can get to the point, if God wants to have mercy on them, because I believe that God had mercy on me when I became born again as a medical student. It took a while, actually. After I started my practice in medicine, then some years later, all of that really began to cement. But this change of allegiance, how do you explain to someone who believes they are a Christian, but they're not born again? Their allegiance is still to, how do you explain that? Please, if somebody can help me, maybe I can understand that.
I think, Reverend Okori, maybe you will shed light on that, because earlier you mentioned something about, repeat after me Christianity. When people come to faith, we just tell them, repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I realize this, I realize that, blah, blah, blah. And then we tell them, so you can go and join the choir, go and join the band, and that's all. So the implication of that pronouncement that they have made, we don't tell them, we don't teach them, we allow them to continue as babies. So we allow them to continue. And unless a Christian realizes this, it is difficult for the person to begin to understand the responsibilities or the consequences of the faith in Christ. So I think, Reverend Corey, I would like you to shed light on that point you mentioned, because I think it will address this question.
You know, the Christian experience differs from person to person. And God deals with us in different ways. But in whichever way he chooses to deal with each of us, it brings us to the same point. You know, he calls Peter different, he calls Andrew different, he calls Philip different, he calls Apostle Paul different. But how is bringing the ministry of the Holy Spirit, making it prominent. Because Jesus said, I will take that which is of my Father, and I will make it yours. Christ is a mediator between God and man. And when he was living, he said the Holy Spirit will continue. So it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that will bring this conviction, because this switch or change of allegiance can only be done by the Holy Spirit. If somebody does it, the person will make you to be legalistic, and the person will so deceive you and imprison you that you begin to fear that person, and you will not fear God. But when Holy Spirit does that, it's just like when an insane person suddenly realizes, the senses comes back. Just like the prodigal son, the Bible said, one day he came to his senses. Nobody talks sense into his head. One day he came to his senses. And I look at that coming to his senses as the ministry of the Holy Spirit that ministered to a mentally derailed person who is wearing rag and suddenly comes to his senses and says, what I am wearing is not what I supposed to wear. He will run because the senses has come back. So when one receives the gifts of salvation, that's justification. You have received Christ. You have received God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The person should be taught to open up his heart for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the person should not be given a formula, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit does not have a formula that has been handed over to anybody. It ministers, it does the work of sanctification in 1 million ways. But that work of sanctification in you, in me, in Brother Iswa, Brother Daniel, will not contradict itself. They will always agree. There will be harmony in all its ramifications. So, formula here, believers should be taught to open up their hearts for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will take it up from there, and he will do the work of transformation, beginning with whichever one you want to begin with. Is God, is all knowing. He molded us. He knows us. He knows everything about our composition. Even our personal experiences are well known to him. So he can walk us through that road through any means that he chooses, and we will get to the end point. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Corey, for that response. And one thing you mentioned that I would like to emphasize is that that happens during the process of discipleship. It's a process. It's a process. But the problem is, you know, we have come to, is it neglect or kind of ignored, or we have deleted it completely, we have removed it as part of our activities. Discipleship, discipling new believers. Most of the times when people come into faith, we only bank on that you know, that pronouncement they made with their mouth. Once they do that, we assume that now they are mature. They can just begin to do a lot. And so that assumption that we work with is not helping matters. So teaching is crucial. We have to teach them. We have to teach them. We have to teach them. And that's what Jesus Christ emphasized, that teach them, teach them, teach them, teach them, baptize them and teach them. But the problem now, we have reversed it. We say now we'll teach them and baptize them. So when we do that baptismal class, we assume that that baptism class has solved a lot of things. But Jesus Christ said, baptize them and teach them. Because it is through that teaching that people come to realize all these things. They come to realize the implications, the consequences, the issue of changing their allegiance. They now understand what it is. But when they receive Jesus Christ and we leave them, nothing happens. They don't understand it because they don't know where to go. They don't know their left nor their right. So teaching must be emphasized. And it is through teaching that people come to realize that. We are going to stop here. Our time is up. We thank you for participating. Thank you for your questions, your responses. And indeed, it has been a wonderful time studying the Word of God. And I pray that, and I hope we have learned one or two things that we're going to continue reflecting on that will help us in our personal lives as believers in Christ. So we hope to see us again.
Reverend Daniel, please, can you close us in prayer?
Okay, Father, we thank you for leading us, even as we were able to go through these studies. Give us the grace to practice Christianity the way it's enshrined in the scripture. Help us to take the Bible as the final manual for life and to follow the example of Christ as the only person that we can model. And anybody's whose teaching does not key into the teaching of Christ, help us not to follow such a teaching, regardless of whatever denomination that person happened to be. See us through today, and see us through also throughout the week, even as we anticipate to come again next week, same time. For in Christ's mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to Online Bible Fellowship Bible Study with participants from various countries. We hope you have been blessed by listening today, and join us next time as we fellowship in another session of Online Bible Study Fellowship.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Online Bible Fellowship today. Please help us spread and present this message of God's saving grace to others. Send any donation as you are led to give to the United Christian Health Foundation to this account, Zenith Bank, 12-26-243888. I take that again, Zenith Bank, 12-26-243888. May God richly bless you as you give, and do not forget to join us again next time on this radio station. Till we meet again next week, may God richly bless you.